with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to be talking about an issue today that many think about, many ponder over, but most never speak. Let me say that again. We're talking about an issue today that many think about, many ponder over, yet very few speak out about it. Are Democrats Christians or even Americans? Are Democrats Christians or even Americans? That's the question. Now, if that bothers you, I'd love to have you call and explain to me how it is possible to believe in and practice what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat Party is doing today and claim to be American, or secondly, even claim to be a Christian. And yet, I find it amazing and sad at the same time when a Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat dies, you hear they're walking with Jesus. I find it amazing that in this life, you can live a life demon-possessed, if you will. You can live a life that is contrary to anything that's called scriptural or biblical or godly, and then die, and the Democratic Party will declare that you're walking with Jesus. I find that antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. In fact, the little book of Amos, the third chapter, the third verse says, I'm a paraphrase, how can two walk together until we first be agreed? There must be an agreement with what America's about, what our constitutional republic is about, and what we do to maintain it. If there's not an agreement and understanding, it's an impossibility for two parties, i.e. the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and the Rhino Republican Party, it's an impossibility for there to be a meeting of the minds unless there is a common aim, a common goal, a common ambition, an aspiration, and that's for America, or for the central biblicist worldview called Christianity. So that's what we're talking about today, and I'm going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you want to paraphrase the issue, I'd like to respond to it in this fashion. What evidence do you have that you can share with me that perhaps I've not seen, that you could declare that a Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat is really an American? We're not talking about do they hold American citizenship. Are they really American? Or secondly, with what they believe, and we'll talk about much of this on the broadcast, how can you say, can we say, can you make a declaratory statement that I believe that the Democratic Party stands for morals and ethics and values and biblical truth with a central biblicist worldview? Can you say that? I'd like to know where, how, and what you hold on to for that. And I'm not saying this to be condemnatory today. I'm not saying this to in any way cause a riot in your home or family. But I'm saying this today because I believe it's time we recognize the fact of what Jesus himself said in Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26. And I'll paraphrase that for clarity. A divided home, a divided church, a divided nation cannot stand. And I have never in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100, I've never in my lifetime witnessed a greater divisiveness and a greater chasm in our nation than I'm witnessing today. You would think that the Democrats would want to maintain a constitutional republic. But one of our sons, Greg, said, Dad, I believe the Democrats would be willing to burn America down if they could rule over the ashes. And I believe he's 100% correct. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus himself said, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 is a wonderful statement. Verse 2, the latter portion of the verse, in fact, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, truth must be the fundamental foundation that we stand on. And if Jesus says, I am truth, we're talking about standing on the firm foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. He is the Word, the first, foremost, and final Word. May we stand on that. Yet, in the society in which we're living in, George Orwell's statement, George Orwell, by the way, was a secularist, but Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that to be fundamentally true today. We find major fragmentation in our nation today. We find major divisiveness in our nation today, and it's simply over the word truth. Truth. You take people like Ilhan Omar that had the gall to scream out and call the president a liar or other defamatory statements during the president's address to the nation just a few nights ago. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that, by the way, some of the things, who she is, where she's from, what she's doing, and what should take place. But I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, where do we go for a definitive resolution of any issue, any question, any problem, if there's no absolute truth? In fact, according to this article, 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35 years of age, we call them the millennials, say each person determines their own version of truth, as though there are different versions of truth. You've heard me say many times, a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to recognize you can't be divisive on what the truth is, although we see that growing in Washington, especially on the left side of the aisle, and those things that are taking place. We see that happening today across the nation as we see the socialist, Marxist, communists take positions in our nation as governors. We'll talk about Spamberger in a moment, what she's done just since being in office about a month and a half now in Virginia. And how she's turned things upside down morally, ethically, and biblically in the state of Virginia. I'm looking at the headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. I always go back to the definitive statement of the 15th century theologian and church reformer. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day, simply to seek, listen, learn, love, tell, live, and defend the truth. that is so vital, so needed in our society today, perhaps more than ever in the history of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, it's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just to move a few more moments and a brief monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines. I'm looking at headline that says, you should be ashamed. Ilhan Omar melts down when asked to support, listen, melts down when asked to support Americans. Ahead of President Donald J. Trump's State of the Union address, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries provided his Democratic peers with two options, either attend in silent defiance or boycott the event. This Somali-born nationalist did her apparent best to interrupt the American president's address, repeatedly screaming in concert with the radical seated beside her, Representative Rashid Tlaib. While visibly agitated throughout the address, Omar apparently appeared particularly unhinged when the president asked lawmakers to stand up if they agreed to the first duty of American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Rather than stand to support the people of her adopted country, Ilhan Omar screamed back things at the president. Trump responded to the Democrats' refusal to stand up and support their countrymen, and the heckles from the peanut gallery said, isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself, President Trump said. Further in this article, let me read this. It's telling. Ilhan Omar also appeared vexed by Trump's criticism of the Somalis, particular when the president said, this is what Trump said, ladies and gentlemen, the Somalian pirates ransacked Minnesota. Remind us that there's a large part of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to America, and it is the American people who pay the price in high medical bills, car insurance, rent rates, tax, and perhaps most importantly, crime. We will take care of this problem. Ladies and gentlemen, he was speaking the truth, and yet multitudes disagree with that. And what he's addressing, without going into details at that time, he was talking about approximately 19 million that's taking place, 19 billion, I think it was, dollars that was robbed by the Somalians coming out of just out of Minnesota, not talking about the other states that they're in. And Ilhan Omar is very upset. By the way, may I just do a little young blood parenthetical footnote to that? Why is she upset? I believe it's because it's upsetting her cash flow. You realize when she went in, she was a pauper. Now there's somewhere between $30 and $50 million net worth for Ilhan Omar. I want somebody to explain that to me. With a salary of about $150,000 a year as a U.S. House of Representatives, and you've gained $30, $40, $50 million in your bank account, there's a problem with that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to ask the question, what is taking place in America? Do we see the chasm between good and evil? Do we see the Democrats as being even close to what you'd call American citizens? are standing up for American values, or even call them Christians. We're going to talk about the two different veritables and what it means to be an American, what it means to be a Christian, and what we find in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, when we recognize what has taken place and the division in America, socially and ethnically, so many illegal invaders now are the Somalians. Do not assimilate. And it's not just Somalians. We're talking about those that are Islamics that are coming in, and Somalians, or many of the others, ladies and gentlemen. Rather than assimilating and becoming Americans, they've come here simply to milk the system, to get what they can, to rob, steal, cheat, steal. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happening on a wholesale basis across our nation, primarily being seen today in Minnesota. And I believe the Attorney General, I believe Ilhan Omar as the representative, and I believe Tim Walz, the governor, I believe all of them are in part and parcel of the theft, the robbery that is taking place in the state of Minnesota. This is the reason the scream and cry and the smoke screen against ICE agents in Minnesota was to keep down the focus on the theft and the fraud that's taking place in Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, "Insufferable Scum." Watch the Democrats in Congress refuse to stand for all of these things that make America great. The first duty of American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Republicans stand and applaud while Democrats remain seated during numerous moments of President Trump's State of the Union address on February the 24th. Whatever they might believe in, Democrats in Congress have made it clear that they do not believe that the first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. President Trump gave them the option of explaining, "One of the great things about the State of the Union is how it gives Americans the chance to see clearly what their representatives really believe. So tonight, I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens." Listen to this. I don't know if you watched that or not. I watched the 2 hours. This article reads, "Republicans exploded. They stood, they clapped, they whistled for a solid 2 minutes. It was the kind of raw, spontaneous reaction you can't manufacture. But Democrats stayed seated, didn't move, not a shuffle." Trump pointed this out. He said, "Isn't it a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. That's why I'm asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities, protect the criminals, and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases, drug lords, murderers, all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself." Ladies and gentlemen, that's my statement. Those that claim to be Americans, those that claim to be legislators to protect America, should be ashamed of themselves. And we saw with our own eyes, watched and witnessed what took place during that period of time, that they refused to even stand, acknowledging that they are standing for America. If you're not going to stand for America, you're standing against America. If you're not going to stand for the Bible, for the flag, for our Constitution, and for our ethics and morals and values, then you're simply not an American, and you're not a Christian, regardless of what you want to say, regardless of the screaming and the hair on fire mindset that you might have when you're told that. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. Donald Trump said that America is great, and I want to ask you, do you really think that America is great right now? I mean, what is it, 20, 30% of the people are one paycheck away from disaster? Is that great?
Well, I think we are separating and conflicting two thoughts. America is great, God gave us our constitutional republic. That has not ceased to be a fact. We're great as a result of what God is doing and sustaining us as a nation. When it comes to the economics and the factors involved there, what President Trump is doing is trying to fill the giant hole in the system that was put there by the previous administration, destroying the morals, ethics, values, and anything that would be called economics in our nation. Yes, there are difficulties, no question about it. But if you go back and look and analyze, and I've seen it with my own eyes, I've witnessed, I've watched what took place under the Obama administration, what took place then under the Biden administration, and to look back and to recognize that much of the decline, much of the deficiencies, much of the deficits that were taking place were as a result of Sleepy Joe Biden and the auto pen, and when there was the pillaging of America through the leadership right out of the Oval Office by the millions between the president, his son, and family, I simply call the Biden clan, and what was being carried on. So to answer your questions elongatedly and then boil it down to a simple fact, yes, America's still great. Greatest nation on the face of the globe, because God ordained through our founding fathers, through the biblical principles, what we have today that we call America. I hope that was satisfactory.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I think inflation probably is the biggest problem that we have today. I mean, you go shopping, you can't afford it, food pretty much. What do you think Trump is doing? What is the main thing that Trump is doing to help with inflation?
Let me go back to a fundamental when we talk about inflation. Let's back up, and I'm still less than 100. We didn't have minimum wage and hour laws when I was growing up. We didn't have inflation. We didn't have the idea that you can force a person, a company, to pay a certain fee or for a certain salary. California, for example, they're losing the mom-and-pop burger shops, etc., because they put into effect a minimum wage for flipping hamburgers of $20 an hour. You can't do that and expect there not to be inflation. You can't say that, for example, in the state of Florida, September be a minimum wage of $15 an hour. You can't pay $15 an hour for somebody to do some menial work that must be done in a corporate entity or an organization, and especially in a church or a ministry as ours and others. It's an impossibility. You take a loaf of bread that just a few years ago was a dollar a loaf, and now it's running between $3.50 and $5 for a loaf of bread. So that is inflation, yes. It's caused by the government intervention in trying to control the economic values and to set the standards for America rather than it being based on supply and demand. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten, right now, for example, a good illustration of what I'm saying is the socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist that's now the mayor in New York City. He had said in his speeches that he's going to get everybody a $30 an hour minimum wage. You remember that? Yet when the snow's on the ground about 2 foot deep, he comes out with a plea for the public, go down to the local fire station, give them two identifications, which he said you shouldn't have ID for voting, give them two IDs to get you a shovel to shovel snow, and we'll pay you $19 an hour. It's that kind of garbage coming out of a government, and mostly from the socialist, Marxist, communist, leftist, that's doing that, that's destroying our economy, causing the inflation. Absolutely, unequivocally, you're right.
Well, as usual, you're right on the money, so I appreciate it, Pastor. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you for your call. I believe we have Davis on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood. You know, I was like you. I watched that thing, the whole entire thing, and I'm a little less than 100. I'm 91. And this was a perfect example of whenever Christ separates the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And I tell you, that was the most demonic atmosphere on that left side, on the Democratic side, than I've ever seen. They must be some goats. I'll tell you. And I want to go back and refer to yesterday whenever you had the Muslim on there, if I may, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I believe it was the prophet that challenged the God, you know, of the people that didn't believe in God to open up altars and put a sacrifice on there. If my prayer is this, whenever that alarm goes off on one of those mosques and all in there, that fire come down from heaven and destroy that building.
Absolutely, and God can do it. I believe what we're going to see in the maybe distant, but I believe the nearer future, we're going to see the hand of God coming in to discipline America. And by the way, two sides of that coin, I personally believe that what we're seeing with the Islamic jihadist uprising in America, I believe God will use that wicked, evil, religious, quote, political group, the most demonic on the face of the globe, I believe God will progressively use that to chastise, to chasten, to judge America for turning our backs on God. Go to the little book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk kept saying, God, how long before you'll judge the wicked? God says, hey, son, listen, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to send a more wicked nation than Judah to judge Judah. And when that wicked nation has judged Judah, I'm going to judge that nation with a more wicked nation. That's the hand of God. And I believe we see that being replayed today across America. We can look at most of Europe today and see how God is judging Europe, because Europe had said no to God. And God has been displaced by the socialist, Marxist, communist organizational structures, including the Islamic jihadist. We're seeing that, and it's my prayer that I'm wrong, but I believe that we're seeing that take place. And as the caller, as our person that we're interviewing yesterday said, he came out of that background, and the only thing that got him out of that background of Islamic jihadist lifestyle and living was simply Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. So the only salvation for America today, the only hope for America today, is turn back to God, to say yes to Jesus, because right now it's an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-government, anti-white, anti-morals, ethics, and values mindset that's permeating in our society. And I believe there needs to be, speaking from the pulpits in America, I believe preachers need to grow a spine and stand up and speak the truth in love, talk about what's happening, what and what God wants to do, and the only way God can operate and move is through open hearts and open minds that says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. So,
yeah,
brother, it deserves our prayer.
I believe that's the reason why probably the church right now is suffering all the persecution that it's getting, because God is judging us. Because we've been negligent in what we should have been doing from the very beginning when this nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've just watered that down.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's become just trivial dribble coming from most of our pulpits today. And I've quoted this many, many times. Franklin Graham has a pretty good spine when it comes to taking a stand. And Franklin Graham said that it is the woke progressive Christianity that's sending people to hell today. And yet that's the mindset out of most pulpits today. I believe it's time that we recognize the Word of God says judgment begins at the door of the church, at the household
Absolutely.
Of faith. And we, because as Christians, as pastors, as ministries, for 60 years, it could be longer, but 60 years as I see it, there's been a decline in spirituality coming out of the pulpits, because an idea that somehow we can't hurt feelings, we've got to appease everybody. And most pastors, Brother Davis, are afraid they might irritate a loose, likes, lost liberal Democrat in the congregation, and they might lose some numbers, nickels, and noses. So as a result of that, they want to appease rather than preach. And I tell people all the time, God didn't call me to please, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've said to some, if it bothers you, tell God, don't tell me. I'm just going to tell you what the Scripture says. That's all I have the authority to do. That's what we do right here each and every day on this broadcast as we face the issues, is speak the truth. Some like it, some don't. That's their problem.
Right. But, and I've talked to several pastors through the years, and I don't know of any one particular one that actually believes Christ was in the heart of the earth literally 3 days and three nights. And I tell you, that when we deviate from what God said and start adding man's traditions to it, that's the problem right now. I don't know of a pastor that believes actually in 3 days, literally 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said it, I believe it. And
you're talking to one preacher that believes that, and they preached that for less than 100 years. In fact, Jesus is the one that uses Jonah as the illustration, as he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, also the Son of Man will be in the center of the earth. There are a lot of people that will also preach false, saying that Jesus, when he died, he went to hell, and he released the prisoners that was in hell, and so forth and so on. That's an absolute fabrication, a lie, and it's a misunderstanding of the word study and the word of God. Jesus told told the thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say, this day we're going to hell, spend 3 days and three nights there, and then come back and go to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. So,
yeah,
brother, you're exactly right.
I appreciate that program you had recently on that, whenever y'all got together, Dr. Phelps and Brother Davis, and discussed that. I tell you, that's very eye-opening. I tell you, We need to listen up to what God said and not what man's saying.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we face the issues.